Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on, well, I'm on AM 1220, The Word in Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm on Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN in Tampa, Florida, and wherever else we might turn up at. But I'm just thankful for the opportunity to be on the air and to be on the air live and to have the opportunity to allow you to give us a call with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Those telephone numbers are, you can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll welcome you to the program here tonight. And let's go ahead and open to the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to do this program. Help us to be a blessing, encouragement to somebody tonight through the things that we talk about. And Lord, we just pray that you would use this program to help point people to Christ. Lord, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I got to tell you, what a beautiful day today, yesterday have been. I was able to get out and do some work, getting some stuff yesterday for our flower beds and garden beds that I have, try and get them set up and try and get some things planted in there, hopefully. But just a nice spring day here in northeastern Ohio. And these are the times, these kind of days, these last 2 days have been the type of days that you kind of live for when you live in northeastern Ohio. Temperatures just right, just enough sun and just enough cloud and just enough breeze. Everything's just right, kind of like the Goldilocks story. Remember where she, you know, tries the porridge. This one's too hot. This one's too cold. This one's just right. And she lies in the beds. This one's too hard. This one's too soft. And this one's just right. Well, today was just right. Yesterday was just right. Gorgeous days. And I hope you had a chance to get out and enjoy them. And if you're in an area of the country that didn't have as nice a weather as we did here in northeastern Ohio these last few days, well, I'm sure that you're going to have some good weather on days when we're going to have clouds and rain and storms and everything else as well. And certainly it's nice to be able to think that the snow and the ice of this past winter is probably finally behind us. And it's sure been a long, cold winter up here in this part of the country. Well, I want to get into a couple of things here this evening and touch on a couple things. I had one thing I was going to look at, but I want to jump to something real quick. It was kind of breaking news coming out online as I was heading up to the radio station. There was a place down in I believe it's Garland, Texas. They were having a contest down there where they were having people draw cartoons of Muhammad, you know, of Islamic fame. And they did this for a variety of reasons. One of the reasons, of course, is to emphasize free speech. Now, whether or not you agree with whether or not they should have done it, the fact of the matter is we have free speech in this country. And there are people who draw cartoons and things of Jesus Christ and not very complimentary, I might add. And people don't riot. People don't get guns and shoot people up. And things of that nature. But what happened here in Texas is two men with rifles and backpacks, they attacked the police, the security that was there on hand around this event. And there's a security guard, I think he's an off-duty policeman, that was injured. And the two wannabe jihadis that some people had some information. And of course, all of this is just kind of breaking in the news now. We'll find out more as time goes by. But some people do believe that there's indication that they're connected with ISIS. It may just simply be that they were inflamed by ISIS, but the two would-be jihadis were killed, I believe it was, in the confrontation. So they carried in automatic weapons, and the bomb squad had been called into the event to inspect a few things. And so pray that things there will be sorted out, and no further attacks, no further injuries, and that the bomb squad will be able to clear that event. But you can find out some more about that if you go online to jihadwatch.org. If you're familiar with that site, a lot of good information there dealing with Islam. Robert Spencer is the guy behind that site there. And I believe he's actually down there where this this group is. It's co-sponsored by Jihad Watch and another group. So keep an eye on that, see what's happening there, and pray that there won't be any further problems there. But see, this is an attempt to intimidate. The Quran says specifically to strike terror into the hearts of the infidels. And you know, I'm an infidel, and most likely you listening, you're an infidel too. And I can prove that very easily. If you believe that Jesus Christ is God, by the definition of the Quran, you're an infidel. If you believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross, not only went to the cross, but that he died on the cross, you're an infidel. That's what the Quran says if you read it. But yeah, there it's still a lot of confusion in the things that are coming out of there. But this type of attack has happened in Paris. If you remember the that was that Charlie thing magazine in Paris that was attacked because of this, and then Copenhagen before where they had some pictures of the of Muhammad that were done. This is several years ago, and they suffered some attacks in Copenhagen, things like this. My prediction is that the liberal media is going to explain this is all the fault of the non-Muslims, especially conservative Christians. It'll all be our fault somehow, and we should have known better than to upset the radical jihadis more than they could handle. But at any rate, pray for that situation. Just wanted to put that out there. We live in a time where there is a spiritual battle that's raging around us, and Islam is, I've said it before, I have no qualms about saying it again, Islam is a satanic religion. It is designed in a sense as a mockery of Christianity and Judaism both. It purports that Muhammad is the successor to Moses and Jesus, and that he's superior to both of them, and many other things that they tried to steal from Christianity and Judaism. But it's a counterfeit religion, and it is a false religion that has ensnared people all around the globe. And if you don't think that they can stage attacks or cause things to happen in the United States of America, I wish that I could live in that world where I believe that too, but unfortunately, this is not the first time that they've staged attacks in the United States, and most likely it's not the last. So we need to pray, and I don't want to leave you on a downer note with this. Fact of the matter remains, many Muslims around the world are coming to Christ, and as Muslims come into this country, we have a tremendous opportunity to reach them with the gospel, more so than when they're over in other parts of the world where we're restricted in our conversation. We're restricted in the things that we can say on the radio. And that's really why they hate freedom of speech so much. They do not like people to be able to tell the truth about Islam. They don't like people to be able to challenge their claims. They don't like people to present Christianity, Bible, true Bible-based Christianity in contrast with Islam. And they don't like it. And yet at the same time, many Muslims are coming to Christ. And we need to pray for the Islamic people. It's not the individual Muslims that we should be angry with. That we ought to be angry with the religion, because they're ensnared in it. And I've heard other people say this, people who have ministries where they spend time trying to reach Muslims much more so than we do with this radio program, people who have been saved out of Islam. And almost invariably, they'll tell you that the very first victims of Islam are the Muslim people. They're ensnared in a false religion that putting them in bondage and then sending them out into a Christless eternity. So we need to pray for them that God will continue to reach Muslim people with the gospel message, that they'll realize that God, the God of the Bible, is not the God of the Quran. The God of the Quran has no love. The God of the Bible is love. And the God of the Quran is a capricious God that does what he wants, regardless of any rule of law. And the God of the Bible is a law-abiding God. He established laws, spiritual laws, physical laws, and he uses those things in order to act in an orderly fashion. And he gives us the opportunity to choose to obey him or to choose to disobey him. And we were talking in church today about how the Bible says there's coming a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's something that we need to understand, that in a future time, not today, not tomorrow, but the Bible talks about a future time where everyone will understand what God is doing, why God has allowed these things to happen, and they will acknowledge God. And let me go over to, I hadn't planned on turning here initially, but let me go over to Philippians chapter 2, and then hopefully I'll get back to where I was going originally here. But in Philippians, and that'll be chapter 2 here. Get turned over here. Philippians chapter 2. The Bible says this in verse 9, starting here. It says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him," referring to Jesus Christ, "that and given him a name which is above every name, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And you know, that that's the saved and the unsaved alike one day will do this. The devil himself one day will do this. All of the angels, the holy angels and the unholy angels, all one day will bend their knee before the Lord and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is a future event that's going to take place. And, you know, one of the things that's brought up as an objection to Christianity oftentimes is that if God is all-powerful and God is good, why does he allow evil in the world? And I'm not going to get into a long, detailed discussion on that, but the fact of the matter is, it seems like a slam dunk oftentimes. Well, if he's all-powerful and he's good, why does he allow evil in the world? Well, if he allows evil in the world, then he can't be good, and therefore, or he's not all-powerful. Either one, he's not the God of the Bible. If that's the case, he falls short of his claims. But what most people don't understand is that though God is all-powerful and he's good, he chose to give us a free will. And in order to give us a free will, he had to allow evil to enter into the world. And I've mentioned this before. In order to have free will, you have to have a choice. And the studio that I'm sitting in, there are two doors. When I leave this studio at the end of the program, I can choose to go out either of those two doors. That's my choice. And if I choose to go out one door, then that means I choose to not go out the other door. And for Adam, for instance, to have the free will to obey God, he also had to have the free will to choose not to obey God. And he would not have had a legitimate free will if the only choice he had was to obey God. And the situation that we find ourselves in today is because Adam chose to disobey God. And by one man's sin, that's Adam's sin, the Bible says that sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so in order for us to have the freedom to choose to obey God, for us to have the freedom to choose to love God, for us to have the freedom to choose to follow God, we had to have the freedom to not do those things. And otherwise, we would have just been automations doing what we're programmed to do. One of the reasons that I, from time to time, rant against Calvinism on the radio and at our Bible studies and our church services is because Calvinism takes away free will. And they somehow think that God is made smaller by allowing us to have free will. On the contrary, I think God is made the greater because he's able to allow us to have free will. And yet, of course, we know that in the end, God will be victorious over all of these things. And we will, though we don't understand it now, we eventually will understand these things. And even the devil himself will bow before the Lord and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, that was a little extra there that I didn't intend on getting into tonight, but any rate, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number, and you can get on Late Night Live with Pastor Al with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. The phone lines are open and waiting for your call. And also, if you want to know more about the program, more about me, more about our church, you can go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we've got the information there. We've got past programs. We've got our Sunday night programs, our hour-long programs on Sunday night. We've also got some. We've got our Friday programs there. We have a half-hour program on Friday afternoon, not on all the stations that we're on, but you can hear those programs there as well at livewithpastoral.com. And you can also link to our Facebook page at livewithpastoral.com. So I invite you to go there, check out our Facebook page, try to get some articles and things there of interest that hopefully be a blessing and a help to you. Well, let me get back to what I originally was looking at here for this evening before learning about the situation down there in Garland, Texas, and do pray for that situation there. But I was reading an article, and this has hit several news sources, and I was reading this on Breitbart.com, and the title of the article was "Highest-Ranking Cold War Defector: The KGB Invented Liberation Theology." And of course, if you remember your Cold War history, the KGB was, in some senses, I guess you could call it the Soviet equivalent of the CIA and I guess you could say the FBI combined, but at least certainly the CIA. It was their intelligence service that they used extensively to carry out the Soviet Revolution or take the Communist Revolution or at least try to export it to other parts of the world. And of course, you know, we're looking at, you know, getting decades beyond the fall of the Soviet Union now. And for a lot of people, though I was in the Air Force and during the Cold War time, during the 1980s, and we dealt with this stuff all the time, I have to remind myself that a lot of our younger listeners, younger people, you know, this is what World War II or earlier wars were to me. It's something in the past. No real direct awareness of it. So I remind you that the Soviet Union, of course, was a large communist empire, predominantly Russia, as well as the Ukraine and many of the Central Asian republics, such as Armenia and Kazakhstan and Turkmenistan and Georgia and places like that. And they also controlled an area which was called Eastern Europe, and that would have been Germany at the time was divided into East Germany and West Germany, and Eastern Germany was in the Soviet or the communist sphere. West Germany was in the NATO alliance and in the Western democracy sphere. And then, of course, they also controlled areas such as Poland and Romania and Czechoslovakia, Hungary, and places like that. That was communist part of Europe, Eastern Europe. They were behind what was called the Iron Curtain. It was a term that was coined there. And this particular individual, he was a three-star general. He was the former head of communist Romania's secret police. He defected to the United States in 1978. Ion Mihai Pasipa, I think is how his last name is pronounced, but he was, as I said, he was one of the most important defectors during that time that defected from the Soviet Union and the Soviet satellite states such as Romania into the United States. And he provided a lot of information about what was going on. In fact, it was considered a serious enough defection that the Romanian government under then leader Nicolae Ceaușescu put a bounty of $2 million on his head and had sentenced him in absentia to two death sentences. And he spent more than 10 years working at the CIA. And this would have been going into the 80s, of course, into the time when I was in the Air Force myself. And he made some interesting statements here about liberation theology. And I find this rather interesting because I remember talking about this with people when I got out of the Air Force. And liberation theology was considered to be sort of a marriage of Marxist communism and Christianity. And it was kind of put out the idea that they promoted the idea that Jesus was a communist. And I remember seeing these copies of posters that were circulated in Central America during the 1980s when this was being promoted in Central and South America. It had a picture of Jesus Christ wearing coveralls like a worker and in one hand holding a hammer and the other hand holding a sickle. And I understood at the time, but it was based on where I was in the Air Force, that the Soviet Union through the KGB was infiltrating many of these types of organizations, including the organizations that were promoting liberation theology. Pasipa here has basically said what has not been understood. It wasn't the product of Christians who pursued communism, but it was the product of communists who pursued Christians. And this was something that was conceived by the KGB. And they structured this whole thing. Liberation theology was invented, and it was promoted during a time where they had a lot of liberation groups. The National Liberation Army of Colombia, created by the KGB with help from Fidel Castro, Cuba. The National Liberation Army of Bolivia, created by the KGB with help from Che Guevara. The Palestinian Liberation Organization, which was created by the KGB with help for Yasser Arafat. You remember him as the guy that gave the world the suicide bomber, and the world gave him a Nobel Peace Prize as a result of that. That's just some of the liberation movements born at Lubyanka, the headquarters of the KGB, and liberation theology was one of these things. And during the 1960s, they began this. They began to take over the World Council of Churches. This is one of the reasons why many churches have taken pains to to avoid any affiliation or association with the World Council of Churches. It is based in Geneva, Switzerland, and they infiltrated the World Council of Churches, and they used that as a way to introduce liberation theology through a group called the Christian Peace Conference, which in itself was subordinated to the World Peace Council. And both of these things are creations of, again, the KGB. And they put these things out there, and unfortunately, even though the Soviet Union died and the KGB kind of disappeared, of course, it resurfaced in other ways, including one of its notable officers, a man by the name of Putin, who you might have heard in the news recently in recent months, influential in Russia. He was a KGB colonel, and he would have had knowledge of some of these things most likely too. But these various Christian peace conferences, World Peace Council, all these groups, which brings another thing to mind, all of these peace groups during this period of time were infiltrated directly, indirectly, controlled or influenced by, again, the KGB. Let me tie that in, and we're going to break here in just a moment or two, but let me tie that in. The same people who created these things and created liberation theology, which was an attempt to corrupt Christianity, and these same people trained many of the people who now serve as the head of some of these Islamic groups. In fact, we used to joke they all studied at the same summer camps together, went to the same summer camps together, training camps that the KGB ran where they trained people, trained Irish Republican Army, Basque Separatists, Red Army Faction in Germany, different groups like that, as well as Islamic groups. And they were endeavoring to use the West's freedom in order to destroy the West. The Islamists are doing the same thing, because that's what they were trained to do. But we have the solution. It's the Word of God. We need to stand on it, promote it, and live by it. Stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'll be on here till midnight. We'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And I also want to mention that we're not only brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, and certainly invite you to visit if you're in the area. If you are visiting, we'd love to have you come in. And if you're in the area, living in the area, and you don't have a good church that stands on the Word of God, we'd love to have you come and visit and see if maybe we might be the kind of church that you and your family should be at. We'll have more information about the church at the end of the program. But in all things, I always remind you, go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and that will connect you up with our church information, more information about me and the program, and links to our Facebook page and some other things there at livewithpastoral.com. Also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, home of the homemade pizza. And if you have the chance to get over there, I encourage you to go check it out. And I've heard about some people stopping in and visiting. If you mention that you heard about them on Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. Heard somebody recently went in and said, I want that pizza that Pastor Al talks about. And that's kind of nice to hear about that. Came all the way over from the west side of Cleveland to the east side. And that was nice to hear about. But stop in, check them out. They're located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And if you're not in the area and you can't get there, but maybe you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, contact East Coast Pizza for at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And ask for Gus and ask how you can get started in your own pizza business, and he'll help you get set up in your own pizza business. You can either add pizza to an existing restaurant, or you can start your own pizza business. He'll help you get started. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School on Turney Road, at 216-341-9100, and call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100 as well. And I believe you can actually find a link to them on our website at livewithpastoral.com. So I encourage you to check that out as well. Well, we're going to get back to our program here today. Again, we have a toll-free number if you want to give us a call tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And in the meanwhile, I had something else that I wanted to mention here this evening. I saw an interesting article, and it made some very good points. We talk from time to time, and I've talked about it on the program, and maybe even your church has talked about this. Why are we losing our young people in our churches? And we kind of focus sometimes on the ones that we're losing, but this article approached this from a different standpoint. They looked at three common traits of youth who don't leave the church. And that's an interesting way of looking at it. We know about kids that are leaving. One of the reasons that they leave is they see hypocrisy in the parts of their families and people in the church, and a lot of times it's just not real to them. And, you know, we're sometimes guilty of teaching nice stories, but we don't try to get them to understand what the Bible actually is, what it says, and how it applies in their lives. But This is an interesting way of looking at this. What is it? What are the common traits in young people who stick with churches, who don't leave the church? And there's probably other things that could be mentioned, but the author here, John Nielsen, came up with three things that he brought in here. And these three things are good items that he put up, put in here. And I think that it's something that if you've not thought about it yourself, it'll make sense. First and foremost, he said, they're converted, which would mean they've gotten saved. And this is a look at 20-somethings in our churches who stay engaged and involved in their in our churches after they graduate from high school. And first and foremost is they're converted, which means they genuinely know Christ as our Savior. See, we've entertained so many kids, we've not evangelized them. We get them out for pizza parties. We get them out for trips to amusement parks. We get them out for sleep-ins and lock-ins and all kinds of things. But we're not reaching them with the gospel. We're just trying to have fun, which leads to the next thing. They've been equipped rather than merely entertained, which means they've been equipped to know what they believe, why they believe it. They've been equipped with Bible reading habits, prayer habits, Bible study skills, and things that they need in order to serve God effectively after they get out of high school, to be able to serve God as they grow and start their own families. And then number three, John Nielsen points out, their parents preach the gospel to them, not just the teacher, not just the youth pastor, not just the pastor. Their parents actually supported the message that the church was teaching and shared the gospel with their children and trained them up in the Word of God. And these are three common traits. These are things that can be done. We can reach our young people with the gospel. We can equip them for the ministry, and we can encourage parents to share the gospel with their own children and live the gospel message before their children. Do these three things, kids are more likely to stay in church as they graduate from high school and go into adulthood. Well, we've got a number of things going on, and amongst them is our caller, John, calling in. John, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello.
Hi, good evening.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. The reason why I'm calling is there's a, I think in one of Paul's letters, it says that if a person claims to be a Christian, but they're living in sin, you're
right,
not supposed to eat with them. How do you show them love? By showing them what they're doing is wrong without violating the scriptures.
Well, let's take a look here, see what we can find. There's one passage here that talks about that, know not to eat or something like that. And let me see if I can find that real quick here. And let's see. Let's go to 1 Corinthians and chapter number 5. Let's take a look, see if that's the one I want. 1 Corinthians and get turned over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And it looks like down about verse number 10 or 11. Verse 11 here. Paul writes, and tell me if this is the verse you're thinking about, but now I have written unto you not to keep company with any man that is called a brother, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. Does that sound like the passage?
Yeah, that's, I think, the one.
All right. Yeah, well, let's take a look at this here a little bit here. Paul, in this particular context here, if we put this in context, you'll see that he starts chapter 5 out by saying it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And what was happening in the church in Corinth is apparently there was a man there who was having an affair. It wasn't his mother. It would have been his stepmother, his father's wife. And he was having this affair with his stepmother. And the church apparently wasn't too concerned about it. In fact, he actually says in there that the people outside the church, you know, he implies that they would have been mortified with this situation, because he said, as is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. He said, even the Gentiles recognize this is wrong, and yet here you are tolerating him in the church. He goes on to say, and you're puffed up. And he used the word ye there instead of thee. When you look in the Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, one of the better qualities of the King James that separates it from the modern translations is the ye's and the these. People think, oh, no, that's the difficult thing. No, that's the thing that's helpful. Because he said ye, when you see a y, like ye, you, or your, that's plural. When you see thee, thou, and thine with the th, that's a singular. It carries some weight here. It carries some important teaching. It shows that the church and ye are puffed up. That means the church, the body of Christ here in Corinth, was puffed up. And he says, and have not rather mourned, that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. So this is a sin that's affecting the entire church. And, you know, one of the things that's given to the church is the Lord's Supper. And we understand that. The Lord's Supper, Paul later on, actually, in the same letter, 1 Corinthians, gives some instructions on the Lord's Supper, because they had kind of made a mockery of the Lord's Supper. They were abusing it. So Paul had to straighten them out later on in chapter number 11. And I think that part of what he's going on when he says here in 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 11, we said, with such an one know not to eat. I think he's talking about the Lord's Supper here. Because the Lord's Supper is a time when the church comes together. Whether you call it communion or the Lord's Supper, it's a time when the church comes together to symbolically through the unleavened bread and the unfermented fruit of the vine or juice of the vine. They're symbolically showing a picture of what they believe of the body and blood of Christ, that was the body that was broken on Calvary, the blood that was shed to pay for their sins, and their identification with it. And yet they're tolerating this guy who's living openly in sin, that's bringing disrepute upon the church, and they're puffed up. They're not affected by it. And Paul condemns them for it, tells them that they should discipline this guy. In verse 5, he says, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. He said they should be excluded from the body of Christ there. And later on, if you actually read 2 Corinthians, he says he's been excluded long enough, you should welcome him back into your fellowship because he's learned his lesson. So this is not a case where the person is losing his salvation or anything like this. He is being sent out so that he'll realize that what he's doing is not right, so that he can be restored later on. And they're even told that their glorying is not good in verse 6. He says, know ye that not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. And leaven, of course, was a type of sin. A little leavening agent, a little yeast in the dough spreads through the whole dough and leavens the entire lump of dough. So he said, you need to get this person out from amongst you. You need to exclude him from your fellowship. And then he goes on in verse number 9 to say, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. Now, Paul understands, and the Lord understands, we have to live in the world with unsaved people. You know, people who are unsaved. They're living in sin. They're fornicators. They're covetous. They're extortioners. They're idolaters. And all these things, we're in the world around them. We work with them. We have family, extended family members that are in this category. And he's not saying have nothing to do with them. He's talking about those that are in the church. He said they're to be excluded from this fellowship, and they're not to be participating in the Lord's Supper with such a one, no, not to eat. And so it's, in a sense, it amounts to a church discipline thing. But at the same time, there's elsewhere where he tells people that when we're separating from erring brethren, we're not to treat them terribly, but we're to remember that they're brothers. Brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're still supposed to show love to them, that we can win them back and restore them to fellowship. But a lot of times when you read that, you know, you just see that, no, not to eat. It sounds like you can never eat with somebody that's unsaved. And what would you do with family members that aren't saved? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is, this person claims to be a Christian,
right?
They've been living with a woman for the past 20 years and they're not married.
Mm-hmm.
But he tells everybody he's a Christian, but he never goes to church.
Well, I if he doesn't go to church, certainly you're not going to have the problem of him wanting to eat the Lord's Supper unworthily. It brings up a thing that I've heard. People have said this. Maybe you've heard something along these lines before. If somebody says that they're a Christian, but they never go to church, you know, they don't do what the Bible says to do. And I'm not going to say this is the person you're talking about, but you'll see people who claim to be Christians, but they don't read their Bible, they don't pray, they don't go to church, they don't fellowship with other Christians. And you think, well, what kind of a Christian are they then? Because if you're alive, you're going to want to be around living people. Right? And so if you're a born-again Christian, if you're truly spiritually alive, you're going to be wanting to be around other born-again Christians. And for somebody who claims to be a Christian but doesn't go to church, the Bible in Hebrews chapter 10 says that they need to be encouraged and exhorted, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, that they not forsake the fellowship of the believers, and that's the church services. That's a sin. And living without the benefit of marriage, that's a sin. That's living in a fornication or an immoral relationship. And if they're not willing to admit that those are sins, you may want to ask, are they really truly born again? If they are, they're not going to be happy in that situation. It's somebody you need to pray for. Somebody they need to submit to the authority of the Word of God. They need to submit to the authority of the Holy Spirit. And if they're not willing to do those things, it may be they're not saved in the first place. They may have prayed a prayer, but they never really were born again. Not knowing the person, I really can't say 100% what's in their case, but I'm just, these are things that you do see. You see cases like this, and they'll claim to be a Christian. There's a pastor by the name of Shuck, I think it's John Shuck, Presbyterian Church USA, and he claims to be an atheist while at the same time being a Christian. I doubt that he's truly a Christian. You cannot be an atheist and a Christian at the same time, mutually exclusive positions. I hope that helps you out there a little bit.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, well, pray for them. And I think I would concentrate on trying to make sure of their salvation. That would be the most important thing. Hey, we got another call calling in. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. We've got Johnny on the phone. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you for taking my call, Pastor
Al. Glad to have you tonight.
I've spoken to you a bit before.
Yes, sir.
I'm an uneducated man, and I only understand that which the Spirit gives me. I have a friend,
mm-hmm.
and we've been friends for 30 some years, but he's a Jehovah's Witness.
Uh-huh.
And I know that they don't believe in the Trinity the way that we do. And I'm wondering, I don't know the scripture and verse that shows them that the only way I know to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you don't believe believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then
right.
you might as well throw your book away.
Right. You're exactly right.
But I'm wondering, how are we supposed to deal with a friend, someone,
right.
I mean, and this is a really good man, but we know how God feels about, well, like, filthy rags, that rich stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let me address that, because we're running out of time here in the program.
Okay.
And
okay.
Let me give you a couple good points right here. Let me go to a verse that I guarantee, I think I'm 90% sure that if you bring this up with a Jehovah's Witness, they'll tell you that, that's a spurious verse. It really doesn't belong there. And that's a passage in 1 John chapter 5. And let me read this passage. 1 John chapter 5, and if your Bible doesn't have this, you need to get a King James Version of the Bible, and I'll explain why in just a moment. But 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Now, there's abundant evidence that this belongs in the Word of God. But if you share that verse with a Jehovah's Witness, and that's one of the strongest verses in the Bible giving us the Godhead, the Father, the Word, that's Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. It doesn't mean, you know, they're one on the same team or one in the same opinion. It means that they're one. They're one God. God the Father, God the Son, or the Word, and God the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit, and these three are one. Now, they'll say that's a spurious verse. And unfortunately, since the 1800s, that false teaching has been propagated that it wasn't in the originals and it didn't appear in any Greek manuscripts prior to the 1600s and stuff like that. Let me give you some background on that verse. The old Syriac Bible of the year 170 AD had that verse in it. The old Latin Bible of the year 200 had that in it. The Vulgate of the 4th and 5th century had that in it. The Italic Bible of the 4th and 5th centuries had that in it. Not only that, writers early on referenced this verse. Tarsian referenced this verse in the year 150. Tertullian referenced it in the year 200. In fact, I heard somewhere that Tertullian said, if you don't believe it's there, you can go to Antioch and you can see it where they have it. Cyprian referred to it in 225 AD. Anathasius referred to it in 350 AD. And that's enough to establish that that verse belongs there. It's in the Bible. But let me go to something that you may be able to find even in a Jehovah's Witness, the New World Translation that they put together to try and take out the gospel, to take out the deity of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says this.
You know, Pastor Al, the yes. adversary is breaking us off so bad that I really can't hear. He just, I mean, it's got static all in there that I can't hear you.
All right. Well, the first,
I can hear.
Yeah, the main passage that I was telling you about was 1 John chapter 5, verse 7.
I got that.
And that was in the originals. There's abundant evidence for that. That's a strong passage. Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. And he, again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him." God the Father says to worship Jesus Christ, God the Son. He describes him as the first begotten. That's the first begotten of the dead. You can see that in Revelation chapter 1. And God the Father says of Jesus in Hebrews 1 verse 8, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." He calls him God. Hey, we're out of time. Thanks for the call. Join us again next week. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the